It's going to be a close one, Jerry. I think the Giants come out of here with a 23-17 type win. Daniel does enough in the fourth quarter again. I sort of like the script, you know, sort of like the script. I'm going to say it this week, okay? Last week I thought Darius was going to have a really good game. He didn't, number-wise. I'm going to double down a little bit. I'm going to say Darius. I'm not going to go 100 yards, but I'm going to say Darius could be a little bit of a difference in this. He makes a play or two, and the Giants win another close one, either on a Gano buzzer or like a 23-17 type game.
So the 6-1 Giants... we'll be going against the Seattle Seahawks next week. Wow. All right. Let's do this. Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, I feel like I'm introducing Apollo Creed or something. Got a million nicknames now. The master of disaster.
Get knocked out?
The master of disaster. The king of sting. Nobody beats the Biz, Bistradamus, Big Trust. I don't even know, dude, anymore. It's ridiculous. Dude, listen. I mean, it's a pleasure watching this team again on Sundays. We were just talking about this. It's so much fun again. You're on the edge of your seat. Somebody tweeted us this morning saying the same thing. I apologize for not knowing who sent that. But, you know, towards the end of that game, after the game was over, I'm laughing at the fact that, you know, look, dude, you nailed the score, 23-17, right? Slayton's going to have a big day. I put it out on Twitter for those of you who didn't see it. I'm sure you did. But, look, Chris, we both had him winning. But this is getting to be, in all seriousness, this is a lot of fun right now. And what I loved coming out of yesterday was that the Giants don't seem to be buying into the hype of that win yesterday. Like, a lot of them seem kind of mad about the way it ended and that it was closer than it should have been. Again, the refs helped out with that, but some mistakes that the Giants made, Barkley not sliding in bounds, really three times he had the opportunity. But what I love coming out of that, dude, is that the Giants are not really satisfied with it and that they're still looking to improve every week. Chris, we are 6-1. You're picking the right score, the right outcome, right plays every week. Like, oh, I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore, dude. This is unbelievable. It's so much fun, dude.
Yeah, that's a credit to Dable with the attitude of the team afterwards.
Yeah.
That's Brian Dable all the way. You know, enjoy the win, but fellas, we have a lot of work to do because, you know, we were fortunate to get out of here with a win. A lot of things he was very unhappy about at the end, mostly Barkley, you know, not getting out of bounds.
Yeah.
He took the blame for it, but, and Saquon's a real smart player too, man. So that was kind of a mistake by Saquon. And, you know, the week before we saw what he did when he needed him to drop down, right? I should say a couple weeks ago in London when he needed him to drop down.
Yep.
You know, so look, what can you say? I mean, it's the defense did not play well at all. But once again, when they needed the defense to play well, they did. Fourth down stops.
Yeah.
Goal line stops.
And let me just say this. McKinney didn't have a pick, but he did force the fumble.
Yeah. I was, you know,
I mean, like, it was almost like, oh, I couldn't quite see how we were going to get the ball, but it was going to be McKinney. But that was a huge play too. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Look, they're marching down the field again. And McKinney with the forced fumble keeps it, you know, at 17-13, I think it was at the time. They were going in for another score, you know.
Yep.
It could have been a different story. So McKinney didn't get the pick, but he had the forced fumble. So he did get the turnover. I was half right on McKinney.
Yeah, right.
And, look, I was worried about Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
And he destroyed them, you know.
Totally good.
You know, I was watching him before the game, watching Jaguars film tape. And I could just see the kid, man. I said, oh, that's the kid I remember from Clemson. He, you know, it took a year or so with the knee, but he is finally looking like that kid now. And that's why I was really worried about him. And he hurt the Giants, man.
Yeah, 14 for 114, dude.
He hurt the Giants big time. But it's the same old story, Jerry. I mean, week after week, when this team has to make a play, they make a play. When they need a three and out, they get a three and out.
Yeah. Chris, you know who almost hurt us yesterday, too, and it was making me sick, and I'm sitting there going, don't tweet, don't tweet, don't tweet. Evan Engram had a solid game. And it was like, is this really going to happen? Are we really going to have this guy hurting us? And he had four catches for 67 yards, 17 per. You know, he kind of looked like the guy that we always thought he could be. But, you know, that aside, you know, the offense, the Jaguars offense, you called it with Etienne. Trevor Lawrence is still erratic. Thibodeau forced actually one of those incompletions in I believe it was the third quarter where he rushed him. And it wasn't talked about enough. The effort that Thibodeau, you put it on Twitter, but it wasn't talked about in the game enough. The effort that Thibodeau put in chasing Etienne down the sidelines, dude. I couldn't believe, and I couldn't believe the announcers didn't say anything. Look, sorry to compare, but it reminded me a lot of, you know, I'm fine at Big Blue VCR, this is what you do. But when Taylor chased down Billy Sims in 1982 down the field, and Cosell, and I think it was Don Meredith, were gushing over it, you know, that's the kind of play, that hustle play, that's what this defense is, where maybe you don't have the stats, you didn't have the sack this week or the forced fumble, but it's that kind of play. You know, guys buying into this, man. Yeah. I mean, how many times do you see a defensive lineman or even a linebacker just kind of not dog it, but not, you know, go full effort down the field? I mean, I thought that was one of the most incredible things I saw yesterday. And I didn't hear the announcers talking about it at all. But I'm just saying, like, that just sums up this team and this defense, dude.
Jerry, do you remember what I said about Thibodeau when he came out? There was a narrative out there that he took plays off in Oregon. And if you remember, before the draft, dude, I was like, I just don't see that. I don't know where they're getting that from, you know? Mm-mm. I don't see it. And he was playing with a high ankle sprain last year in Oregon.
Right.
Or it might have been a low ankle. Anyway, he was playing with an ankle sprain last year. Right. So he wasn't 100%. But I was, well, let me ask you this. Have you seen that? He played 63 snaps yesterday. I just don't see him taking plays off.
No, and I see him getting very close to the quarterback, too. Yeah, I'm watching every play of him.
Right, and even in the last drive, he was getting close.
Right.
He was getting close again against a pretty good tackle.
Yeah.
Cam Robinson, you know. Right. So he's disrupted. He's doing things, Thibodeau. He's playing more and more. Of course, he had it yesterday without some edge guys, but outside guys. But what's really impressive about Thibodeau, too, the way he's playing to run? I like the way he's setting the edge on plays, too, man.
Yeah.
You know? But like you said, that play – Justin Tuck did that years ago, too. I don't know if you remember the play. Justin Tuck ran down the field, and I don't know if it was Washington or the Raiders. Or excuse me. He ran down about 60 yards. He ran a guy down, I remember. Big Blue Feast yards. Hopefully find that one. I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
But getting back to the defense, you know, you can't keep giving up these amount of yards on the ground.
Right.
And expect to keep pulling, you know, doing, you know, getting some key stops like that. They're going to have to tighten this up a little bit. I mean, they're getting gashed on the ground.
Now, why do you think that's happening, Chris? What are you seeing? Is it middle linebacker play?
The linebacker play is not good, bro.
Yeah.
You know, even Jalen Smith, you know, a lot of times he's not getting off blocks. He's coming up one way. You know, he's not reading it right. Tate Crowder is just a, you know, he's just a mediocre linebacker. He'll give you some things. Other than he'll miss some tackles, you know, all that stuff. He'll take a wrong read, and then he'll have a pretty good game. And people are like, oh, you know, he's not that. But, you know, he's just an average linebacker, Crowder. They just don't have that big inside presence, you know. Etienne was getting on the outside yesterday a little bit.
Yeah.
Etienne. So they're not a good run defense right now. They're not. But then they'll turn around, you know, and like the typical Giants fashion this year. Oh, at fourth and a half yard, boom. Quarterbacks, let's keep it with Lawrence. They knock him backwards, and they get a big stop.
Oh, and that was penetration. That was Thibodeau coming around. That was everything. I mean, everything went right on that play. If you watch it again, I'm sure you watched it 1,000 times already. Yeah. But everything went right on that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so just like I said, like, you know, it's like whenever they need a play, they get it.
Right.
You know, and a key, whenever they need a, you know, and once again, Jerry, you know, the red zone defense.
Yeah.
2 of 5 yesterday.
Right.
It's a different story if that's 3 of 5.
Right. Bend, don't break.
You know, it's the same story. You know, they're playing good in the red zone, holding teams to field goals or block field goals, whatever it might be.
Right.
You know?
Now, and Chris, since we're still on the defense, we're going to be on here a while. How is Fabian Moreau doing this? Like, I wasn't excited when we got this guy. He's playing well. Right? Like, I kept thinking, oh, we're going to suck. It's that second corner spot. Second corner is going to be tough. It's not. Like, if you look at the defense right now, we said it before, it's inside linebacker where we have to upgrade right away, right? Some, and it's not going to happen this year, but in the offseason, that definitely has to be upgraded. They will probably look to upgrade that second corner, but right now, I mean, he's holding his own, no?
Absolutely. Hey, look, he's a veteran, man. He's played well at times in his career, and he hasn't played well. But it's not like if people didn't know him, he played for Washington, he played for Atlanta last year, he played all right for Atlanta last year, but he's not a tomato, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've picked up veterans like that before where it just hasn't worked out. It just seems to be working out with this guy.
But Jerry, I want to point out something staying on the defense. I put this out on Twitter yesterday. I saw what the hell the Jaguars were doing, especially in this damn stupid league where every tight contested ball is a flag. Okay? Right. Or if not, the receivers are going like this. Oh, where's the flag? You know, they should throw a flag for that now.
I couldn't agree more with that.
All right? I'm so sick and tired of every tight play. Everybody's looking for flags, or they throw a flag. One series it's a flag, the next series it's not. You know, we'll get into some of those calls too. I mean, it's ridiculous. So
yeah.
I want to credit once again Jerome Henderson, the DB coach for the Giants.
Yep.
Who I've mentioned before, and I'm sure people have read. Wink Martindale said he's probably the best he's ever coached with. Okay?
Yep.
Technique. Adoree Jackson.
Oh my God.
Fabian Moreau. You saw what the Jaguars were doing there.
Yeah.
In that last series. All right, let's throw those back shoulder fades, and let's hope we get a call in the end zone, which will put us at the 1 yard line. If it works out, God bless us. If not, well, we'll probably get a flag here, you know, because everybody else throws flags. You know, if God forbid you don't turn your head, forget it. It's going to be a flag, right?
Right.
Well, he tried it twice, yeah. Lawrence. And both, and without, and Doug Peters is no dummy, okay? Without question, they were trying to hit those fades, but they were hoping to get a flag. They were hoping the technique wasn't right. Somebody grabs his shirt, arm, doesn't turn his head with this bullshit league, you know?
Yeah.
And what happens? Adoree Jackson with great technique. And the other one with Moreau, even though it was high, all right?
Yeah.
It was kind of high. But still, if you look at Moreau, his technique was great.
Yeah.
Okay, so no cheap flags there. That's what Doug Peterson and Lawrence were trying to do. They were trying to get that cheap flag. No question about it. Why not, Jerry? Why not? All you have to do is just throw the ball up. Half the times you're going to get a flag in this league.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So credit to Jerome Henderson teaching these guys, you know, making sure these guys, Adoree Jackson continues to play well, okay?
He's spectacular, Chris.
And Moreau, and even Nick McCloud, when he had to get in and jump in there, once again, played well. Moreau has been playing well. You know, Moreau's going to get beat here and there. He's out of shutdown corner. He's out of top flight corner. But he's giving him solid play. Had the interception, right? Should have ended the game. And then you look on the other side of the field, and there was some, I don't know, hands to the face on Dane Belton. I didn't see it.
Ticky-tack BS
play. I mean, you know, it's incredible, this league. So, the refs, that's what I'm talking about. I talk about this all the time on Twitter. I talk about it all the time in the podcast. You know, refs changing the outcomes of games with some of these calls. What if the Jaguars would have scored there, dude?
Yeah, Chris, let's stay on that because it's almost to the point, Chris, where it's ruining watching. Like, you could almost see it happening, like, the refs are going to keep this close now. I mean, it was before that, but the BS personal foul roughing the passer on Dexter Lawrence where he grabbed him and let go and they called it.
He grabbed his jersey.
They called one on Leonard Williams. Okay, fine. He slammed him to the ground. But the call on Belton was a disgrace. I just thought, I mean, are they just – at what point does this hurt the NFL? I'm not kidding. Like, idiots like us are going to keep watching, and most Giant fans will. But at what point, I don't know. I don't know what the tipping point is, dude. It's just annoying.
Yeah. Jerry, the tipping point will be, I've said this before, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When there's a very controversial hand to the face, something like that, and it costs the team a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say the ratings are going to go down because of that. It won't.
Right.
But that's when the outrage.
Yeah.
You will see the outrage
of
that losing team in the Super Bowl because a drive was extended or they got a very controversial interference call or a ticky-tack hand to the face or some stupid rough in the pass like the one on Dexter Lawrence where a team keeps a drive alive and wins the Super Bowl. That's when you will see the outrage and that's when they will make changes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you. If you look at the Leo Williams play, what is he supposed to do there?
Yeah,
he hits him. He wraps him up as he's throwing. And if you look at Leo, he kind of puts his hands out like this at the end to try to show the refs, I'm just making the tackle, not power driving him. Flag!
And you know what it was? It was in comparison to the other calls. It's almost like you almost concede. And even that one, I guess, was questionable. But in comparison to some of the other ones they made, you're just like, those other ones aren't even close to being penalties.
The one on Dexter wasn't even close.
It's ridiculous, dude. Ridiculous.
And it goes both ways. I get it.
Sure.
And you look at these other games. I watch all these games. You see it all over the damn league. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
But getting back.
Yeah, sure.
What are we going to do, Jerry? I mean, this is, like I said, dude, when it's a championship game or the Super Bowl and a ticky-tack call changes the outcome of the game, that's when you'll see the outrage. Because Roger Goodell don't give a crap, dude. He's making his billions.
He doesn't care.
The league's making $20 billion this year. The owners are rich as anything. The ratings are up. He could care less, dude. Don't let him fool you. He could care less.
Yeah.
If I was commissioner, I'd be like, yeah, that's nice. We're making $20 billion. But the head of supervision, the supervisor of the officials, I would have in my office at Park Avenue the next day and go, tell me the F what the F you guys are doing on the field. That's what I would do.
It's ruining the games, Chris.
It's ruining games,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, like I said, Jerry, when it's an impact game,
yeah,
you know, when it's a Super Bowl like that, Giants-Jaguars in October, okay, whatever. Right. Hey, Bills and Eagles or Bills and Cowboys Super Bowl.
God. Oh my Giants, gosh!
You know, Bills and Bill. All right, hold on. Wait. Ready? Bills Vikings. And Giants. Bills and Giants in Super Bowl. Okay. And the Giants get a short end of a call. New York will look to burn down the whole damn freaking league. You know what I'm getting?
Yeah. I was going to say they're going to have to do more than grease the poles in Philly if that was the case, like they did yesterday. They're going to have to put the whole city on lockdown if there was that kind of a call for those folks. So
dude, you know, Doug Peterson. He's up. He goes for the fourth down instead of kicking the field goal. That's Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I see it around the league.
Yeah.
To me, these head coaches are making fools of themselves with some of these decisions.
Miami last night. Sorry to jump to that. But you got to be kidding me, dude. You can go up two scores, guys.
Jerry,
stupid.
I mean, you show me now. You know, these guys like Mike McDaniel are looking at analytics. Oh, we'll go for it here. What? You go up two scores. It's common sense. Josh McDaniels did it last week. Okay, whatever. So he goes for it. And he liked his chances, obviously, the Giants. And it turns the game around. The Giants go down the field and score right after that.
Yeah, that's right.
Turns the game around.
Yeah.
And credit to Daniel Jones. I want to make a little point here, too, because it annoyed me this morning on Twitter. If you don't mind, Jerry, I'm just going to get into something quick.
Absolutely, buddy. Carte blanche here, pal. Yeah, go for it.
So you see a lot of this stuff now, you know, luck. Oh, the Giants are the luckiest team. It's all luck. I can't believe the luck. But all this crap. Well, I hate to tell people that say the Giants are lucky. They're really doing it on luck. And you really don't know the game. Okay? You know, you might think you know football because, you know, you watched with your daddy 10 years ago. And, you know, and now you got a job writing for some whatever you're writing for. You know, and you think you know the game. Oh, I know football because I write for so-and-so. That doesn't mean crap to me. Okay? That's an insult to Brian Daboll.
Yes, sir.
That's an insult to Wink Martindale. That's an insult to Thomas McGahey. And that's an insult to the Giants players and all the coaching staff to say they're just doing this on luck. Now, have the Giants gotten some breaks this year? Absolutely.
Winning teams do, though, dude.
But winning teams do. Yeah. And you know what? After what's happened the last 12 years, the Giants deserve some breaks.
Absolutely.
Have the Giants been fortunate maybe some at times? Yeah. But have the Giants executed when they need to execute in the red zone? Has Daniel Jones, who had like, I think I wrote it down. Hold on 1 second. How many first downs?
107 yards rushing.
How many first, I know that. How many first downs? Daniel had 7 first down runs yesterday. 7.
7.
Okay. Is Mike Kafka sticking with the run where a lot of coordinators would have gave it up a long time ago because Saquon wasn't running, couldn't really find much space in the first half?
Right.
Okay. Is Daniel hitting in the first drive? The Giants have been like crap this year, the first drives all year. So they go down the field yesterday. Does Daniel hit Darius Slayton on a beautiful ball that Darius did everything in his power to drop, but to bring it down?
Right.
Is the defense getting key stops or a turnover? Are they keeping teams out of the end zone with their red zone, which is a top 10 red zone defense? Is that luck? Okay. So I don't, you know, please do me a favor. If you're going to come at the Giants with luck as your narrative, do me a favor. Go take up tennis. Go take up some other sport. You know, there's soccer out there. Whatever cornhole, the hell you want to take
cornhole,
up.
Cornhole's big on ESPN.
There's cornhole now. Out there. You know, maybe there's something else you could take up because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay, yes. Now, if you could say the Giants are playing way over their talent level, hey, dude, I'm the first one to say it. This isn't a talented roster. Okay? But how about you turn around and say this? Like I've been saying, Jerry, you've been saying. How about you say this? Hey, is this a 6-1 roster? And I've talked to guys in the Giants building talked about this. I'm not just talking with you about this. I've talked to guys who've retired Giants. I've talked to guys in the building. Hey, are we a 6-1 roster? No. But are we doing 6-1 things? Are we coaching at a 6-1 level? You're damn right they are.
Yeah.
Okay? You're damn right they are. Sorry, Jerry. That just kind of annoyed me this morning with this luckiest team on the planet crap. I mean, are you kidding me?
You know? Chris, it's very well said. Guys, we're going to take a break and be right back with more of this. Hang on. And we're back. It's just an easy argument for someone who can't come up with any type of analysis to just say it's luck. I mean, it's just someone who doesn't watch. And look, I don't want to get too much into the.
Yeah, no.
The psychology of the person saying it, but it's someone who doesn't watch the Giants and just looks at the score and says, okay, well, it's luck. So there's nothing behind it. It's just a stupid statement. But let's stay on this coaching staff. I don't get tired of talking about him, Chris. I mean, these guys, even you mentioned Jerome Henderson, position coaches. The job they're doing is absolutely amazing. Everything. And look, I don't want to psychoanalyze everything, but how could you not watch the relationship on the sidelines between Dable and Jones and tell me it's not turning into something special right now? And Jones's mannerisms with Dable. Like, I mean, Jones going up to guys, high-fiving them. I've never seen that before. He was always, give me the tablet. I got to look at the next play. And you're like, God, give me something, Daniel. This is all a credit. And to Daniel, too. But it's a credit to what this coaching staff is doing. It's more than X's and O's are extremely important, but it's also knowing what you have and working with that talent.
That's it.
And just giving them the confidence. Like, I don't know about you, Chris, but when I saw Daniel Jones yell at Marcus Johnson,
I liked it.
I was pretty happy about it. I haven't seen that in 30 years from one of our quarterbacks.
Look, I had no problem with it. I know that he was asked about it. He apologized for doing it. Why, Daniel?
Own that shit. Sorry. Own it.
Dude, when I see Daniel in the locker room this week, I'm going to be like, Daniel, what? Don't apologize for that, dude.
No.
What are you apologizing for?
No. Every Giant fan loved it.
I get it. And, you know, there's no receiver. Marcus Johnson doesn't think Daniel's showing him up.
No.
He's not Kirk Cousins. We know a lot of times Cousins put his hands out.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. That's right. It's when you put the hands out, that's when you're clearly showing them up. Right.
But Aaron Rodgers, you know, gives you that stare for 10 minutes before he walks off the field.
Right.
You know, all and stuff like that. There's been quarterbacks that have shown up, guys, bro.
Right. And by the way, there's receivers that did that. Burris and Shockey used to do that to Manning. And it drove me crazy when they did that. Like, look, you want to talk to your quarterback and yell at him? Fine. Don't show him up like that. And Jones didn't do that, dude. He said, if the camera wasn't on him, you wouldn't even have known it happened.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
By the camera caught him. You know, caught him saying, catch the effing ball. You know?
Right.
But look, if you don't think Brian Dable like that, you're sadly mistaken.
Right.
Dable's a fiery dude. He loved it.
Yeah.
You know, trust me, you know, he might say, oh, no, you know, whatever. But he, trust me, I know Dable. He loved it,
yeah.
You know, because he's a fiery guy. Matter of fact, Dable says, I wish I was as cool as a cucumber like Daniel.
Right.
He goes, I get fiery. Daniel's always even keeled.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so he wasn't showing up anybody, but you like to see that from Daniel at times, you know, because he was pissed off. He zips a ball into Marcus Johnson, and receivers were dropping balls all day on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh God, five or six.
Yeah, it's bad enough. This is a talented receiver group.
Yeah.
No, there's no number one. It's maybe a number two. You know, with Slayton and Wandell. I mean, this is what he's dealing with. So when he zips a ball in a fourth down, make the damn catch.
Right, right.
But Jerry, you know, just getting back to Daniel and Saquon, you know, so after that stop yesterday, the Giants get the fourth down stop, and all you see, Breeder end around, Daniel run. Daniel run. Saquon run. Saquon run. DPI in the end zone. Giants score. I mean, Mike Kafka was like, okay, look, we're just going to run the ball here. Stop it. And Saquon said the same thing after the game. He was like, well, yeah, we kept running the same play, and they couldn't. Jerry, you know one thing that drives me insane.
I know where you're going with it. Go ahead.
Is when something's working.
Yes.
You know where I'm going to go, right? This, right, dude?
Yes.
When
yes.
something's working and you get away from it.
Because we've seen it for the last 10 years.
Thank you. And Jerry, not just the Giants. This is anyway, not just an indictment on the Giants. I see it around the league.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, dude, so Mike Kafka basically said on that drive, when they came after the fourth down stop, he basically said, well, we're going to run this counter play with Saquon. And we're going to see if they stop it. And if they don't, well, guess what? We're going to keep running it.
He may as well have told the defense, this is where we're running. Try and stop it. Yes.
Right?
Love it. Love it.
So even Saquon said, he goes, yeah, we just kept running it. They couldn't stop it. So we just kept running it. Yeah. Well, dude, this is what I say a thousand times. It's not rocket science football.
Right.
Let them stop it. And then they were so obsessed with stopping it. What does Mike call? What does Kafka call? He calls a sneak with Daniel. He calls it a keeper with Daniel.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And he was what? He had all kinds of green because you ran the ball with Saquon the last three, four plays, and they were obsessed with Saquon. Smart coaching. I was like, after that play by Daniel, I put on Twitter, what a smart call by Mike Kafka. Dude, this guy is so damn smart, you know?
And by the way, Chris, I don't know about you. I didn't – until this year – I couldn't have told you if Daniel Jones was a good play-action quarterback. But this year, my God, Chris, he looks like Peyton Manning doing it. I'm not even kidding. He's like a damn magician back there doing it.
And they work on that, Jerry. They work on that during the week because Josh Allen became such a good play-action guy, too, where he would keep that ball behind his leg, like, you know, behind his hip.
It is the best weapon for a quarterback, the play-action pass.
Yeah. So, dude, do you remember the beginning of the year in training camp or OTAs, whatever it was? And you know, Dable kind of made a statement about Jones, and people were concerned about Daniel using his legs. And Dable says, we'll kind of build up. We'll see where we are with Daniel as far as running the ball. And do you remember that, dude?
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Folks who don't remember it, you know, Dable kind of made a well, we'll see where we are with Daniel because he had turnovers running the ball.
Yeah.
And he got hurt. We all know he got hurt a few times running the ball. So Dable kind of said, dude, do you remember what I said back then? I said, trust me on this, Jerry. Daniel Jones' legs are going to be a huge part of this offense. And then training camp came. And I was texting you and I was putting on Twitter saying, they're going to have structured runs with Daniel. They're going to use Daniel's legs. Trust me on this, Jerry. He's a big kid who could run.
Yeah.
Okay? They're going to use his legs. And that's exactly what they're doing. And even Daniel, when they went to a blitz, that fifth man, and they were playing man, Daniel gave that first look. If it wasn't there, he saw they were in man, he saw that green space, and took off and got first down.
Smart quarterback.
Dude, force him out of man. Okay, go play zone now. Good luck.
Right.
Okay? I mean, this is smart football, bro. Smart football. So they go down, you know, Daniel, and then, you know, they try to hit Slayton. Slayton gets grabbed in the end zone by Campbell, and boom. They go in and they make it 20 to 17, you know. So, but here's what I'm talking about: situational football, right? They come down, Daniel takes it in from 1 yard, 20 to 17, 5:39 left, boom, three and out.
Yeah, that was huge, dude.
Three and out,
huge.
The defense, which hasn't played well all day, gave up 400 plus yards, three and out, and the Giants get the ball back, and it's Saquon, Saquon, Saquon.
Yeah, right.
Okay, you're not stopping it. Well, go ahead. You know, and then obviously Saquon with a mishap doesn't get out of bounds. Gano puts the field goal. They had no timeouts. Peterson wastes a couple of early timeouts. I guess he has some communication issues or personnel issues. He had to take two timeouts in that second half, and it wound up burning him, you know?
And that's the thing with Peterson. It's not great at clock management, right? Good head coach, good play caller, good offensive scheme. Clock management, though, that goes back to the Andy Reid days, right? The one thing that was the Achilles heel of Andy Reid was that the clock management wasn't always the best. And Philly used to complain about it all the time. Dable has been incredible with clock management. I've had one complaint this year. But I want to stay on Jones with an argument that almost annoys me as the luck argument, Chris. Look, opinions should evolve, right? Like when we drafted Daniel Jones, none of us were happy. And we thought, what are you doing? Why are you reaching for this kid? Plays for Duke. Didn't see that much in college. Didn't see what everyone else, what other people may have seen in the organization, whatever. And then the first few years, it's, what do we have here? Right? There's nothing around him. Well, look, now the season he's having, what's annoying to me is the folks who still can't stand him in the national media are saying, well, you know, let's see what happens next week. And it's like, at what point are you going to give this kid credit for what he's doing? Yeah. Chris, he put them on his back yesterday.
Again?
Right. If you weren't impressed a week ago or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, how the hell were you not impressed with what this kid did yesterday? And it's just, you just have too much pride in your opinion. You can't evolve at all. And we've done that. I mean, look, I didn't think he was going to last past 8 games. I figured Taylor would be in. Now, I said 55-45, he gets signed. Every win, every play like that yesterday, 65-35 now, guys. And I'd be ecstatic to keep this kid right now. And that's right now. But, you know, opinions have to evolve. People have to get smarter. It's just annoying to me to listen to the dismissiveness of the national media. And some guys even in New York, too, dude. You know, you listen to talk radio sometimes, and it's like, what the hell game are you watching? When are you going to give this kid credit, man?
Yeah. Yeah, look, and I understand if people feel like, well, you know what? No matter what, Chris, Jerry, you know, I don't think he's the franchise quarterback. And that's fair. That's fair. That's absolute fair opinion, okay? And I'm not going to sit here today and say, yeah, Daniel's definitely the franchise quarterback, even now. But he is forcing the issue to be the Giants quarterback down the road.
Right.
Especially, you know, you get in that clean pocket, he makes some good throws, bro, and he doesn't even have any weapons. Okay?
None. Zero. Well, not zero.
All right. Now, would he be, is he the all-around polished quarterback under pressure at times? No, but you know what? And Lisa, you know, I love you. This has nothing to do with anything. But either was Eli Manning.
Right. Sure.
Okay? Either was Eli Manning.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that I get it. You know, if you don't like Daniel, you don't, he's a quarterback. That's fine. But don't sit there. You have to give the kid credit.
Yes.
The kid has taken his team on his back numerous times, and he's determined to win a game. And that includes taking hits. He took another hit yesterday, dude.
How is that not a personal foul, by the way?
You know, his knees kind of went. He didn't really slide. His knees went down.
Ugly slide.
It was because that's why, Jerry. Because it wasn't really a quarterback slide.
Yeah.
It was like an ugly half-ass slide, and a defender drilled him. He could have got hurt there. That's twice now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So you know what, dude? It's funny we talk about, you know what? Now that the Yankees are not playing baseball anymore, get him over there. Maybe you could get him some sliding lessons, you know, in Yankee Stadium, because they're not using Yankee Stadium until next April. So you
hey, listen, I'll talk about that all you want, dude.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just saying, get him over there. What the hell? Let him slide. So, I mean, no, but the point, you know, I'm fooling around. Kyle Johnson, I'm fooling. Although Kyle agrees with me today, anyway.
Kyle wanted him eliminated, so they make changes. Yeah.
So anyway, look, it is what it is with Daniel. He's not the most, for athletic kid, he's not the most graceful dude, okay? Yeah. He's not the most graceful dude. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes looks like, Mahomes played baseball. You see how beautifully Mahomes slides, you know, and the overfield. You're not going to get that out of Daniel. That's just who he is. You know,
and especially when he's sliding on his, like, left foot, left leg underneath. That was what he did yesterday. I'm like, he looked like he could have blew out his knee and sprained his ankle all on the same slide.
I agree with you, dude. He could have blew out his knee, hurt his ankle, and then
ankle
he got drilled.
Gets drugged behind.
And could have got a concussion because he's just not the most graceful guy when it comes to that. And it's weird because he's one athletic dude.
And he almost broke that one run the whole way.
He got tripped up a little bit, though.
He didn't get tripped. Yeah, he didn't trip over there.
I noticed the report. I noticed the announcement. Like, was that Eagle Flair or something?
Schlereth. We got stuck with Schlereth yesterday. He almost went all the way on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so the last drive, they kind of have the interception. The Bulls, you know, after the Giants make it 23-17, Gano kicks the field goal. Saquon doesn't eat up the clock enough. They'll go over that again. I'm not worried about Saquon. He's a real intelligent dude. He made a mistake.
He did. He thought he actually slid before this out of bounds. He didn't. He got the foot out of bounds.
In fairness, it was really three times where he did it.
Yeah, he messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Saquon was the first one to tell you, I screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, Dable took the bullet for it. You know, he was like, that's on me. But trust me, just like the week before, they told Saquon numerous times what to do. Get down. Yeah. And but he messed up. Hey,
yeah.
Saquon's human. He messed up. It can't happen. It could have cost them. And the Jaguars go, look, even the last play, that throw to Marvin Jones by Lawrence, I didn't think it had a shot. He completes that ball, and then you get the, you know, the roughing the passer call on Leo. And I, look, I thought Doug Peterson, I thought it was a very smart move what they did. They just didn't take a shot in the end zone. You know, they threw that ball to Kirk before the end zone to see if he could make a play to get in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Giants were heads up. Moreau, McKinney, I think Love finished them off to make
Collins
sure.
Collins too. Collins there too.
To make sure the offensive lineman didn't come down and push him in, because that's what I thought was going to happen. Though. He was trying to stand up Kirk so he could get some help. The Giants got him down. Look, the first half, I thought Doug Peterson, who's, look, we all know Doug, man. Doug's a very smart offensive mind.
Yes.
So he came out. He wasn't going to sit back and let Wink blitz the crap out of him. A lot of screens, right? Jet sweeps. He was keeping the Giants off balance. He wasn't going to just sit back and let, you know, Wink send five, six guys. So a very good offensive game plan. And obviously, you know, he sees the stud in Travis Etienne. He got him the ball. And he has some big chunk plays and all that stuff. But, hey, look, it was a smart play, I thought, the Christian Kirk. But the Giants met the challenge. You know, they were there. They knew they had to keep him out, you know, and they did. And McKinney with a big play with Moreau and Love. Like you said, I think even Landon, like you said, came over.
Yeah.
Landon also had a big play in that game. He played 23 snaps, which I did not think Landon played that much, but he did play 23 snaps.
Yeah, he got off the block and stopped him on third down.
And that was a huge play, dude.
Yep.
The screen, I think it was the ETN. He gets off the block, trips him up, and he holds him to the field. This is what I'm saying, dude. You know, they make these plays. When they have to make these plays, they're making these plays, and the defense was not good yesterday. But they were good in what? They got a turnover when they needed it. They kept them out of the end zone again, and they got a couple three and outs and a fourth down stop when they needed it. It's incredible. It's a broken record. We go over this every week, you know?
Yeah, the defense does enough. Jones does something. Jones puts him on his back. Barkley becomes spectacular again. And remember, he's Superman in the fourth quarter. And
what?
Really a flawless game plan. Like, you don't look at any of the game plan and say, oh, they shouldn't have done this, done that. The only thing was, I'm going to ask you one thing. Before you go on to your point, when the Giants went for it on fourth down, were you okay with that instead of kicking the field goal to cut it?
Jerry, I was okay with it because Dable felt that he had to do this to win. He felt he needed more points. I think.
I was fine with it. So I'm just.
Yeah, I was fine with it. Yeah. Because I think Dable felt, we're gonna need more points because the defense really wasn't playing well. I think Dable felt he needed more points and let's go for this, you know.
And I think if they were down three or less, they would have gone for the field goal. But down four, I understood why. I was fine with it.
So. Right. I didn't have a problem with it. I gotta be honest with you. You know,
you had a point before.
And look, even Doug Peterson, you know, it was a half a yard, dude, and Trevor Lawrence is excellent at quarterback sneaks.
He's a monster.
I didn't have a problem with it either. I mean,
right.
You know, a lot of people like you should kick the field goal. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, but that's what Peterson does. And and Lawrence is very good at it. And the Giants just made an incredible stop, you know? And he said it after the game, Peterson. I was reading the transcripts, you know, last night, and he said it after the game. He was like, you know, credit the Giants, dude. They made an incredible stop on that play, you know?
They really did. That was incredible. They just pushed them back. And then Thibodeau, I think it was, coming around the edge and grabbing Lawrence. What a ridiculous play that was, because I thought it was a foregone conclusion they were going to get a first down.
Absolutely. I agree with you. You know, and Saquon Barkley in that second half, let's not forget, you know, Brennison out with a knee.
Yeah.
Ezekiel did some good things. Yeah. Had some nice blocks. And of course, Evan Neal.
You know what, dude? Let's get to the injuries in a second. Guys, we'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. All right, dude. Evan Neal. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there was reports it's an MCL. I mean, hopefully it's not torn. We'll probably find out more later. Dable's going to be on with us later.
Yeah.
Or let's see if somebody leaks it out. You know, one of the insiders leak it out today. We'll find out somewhere. Let's hope it's not a torn ACL. Hopefully it's just a sprain. Get Evan back maybe down the road a few weeks. They got a bye coming up. couple weeks.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Brennison, too, another knee thing.
Yeah, that bye is coming at a pretty good time, especially if these injuries are going to be like more nagging than obviously season ending. But Bredesen's, have you heard anything on that one or not?
No,
they're very quiet about that one, so I'm thinking that one's worse. I'm just guessing.
I have no idea. Yeah, we'll find out more later. Yeah, Bredesen's a tough dude, bro. I expected him to come back. I got to be honest with you. I thought he'll be back. He was out for the rest of the game, I was like, oh, God, this is bad. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll find out more later on.
And Bellinger flew home with the team, but needs surgery. What does that mean? Like, is the eye surgery going to keep him out for a while? Like, I have no idea.
He's going to he's in New York right now as we speak, getting evaluated, and we'll see where he's at.
Again, another non-penalty, right?
Well, Jerry, I thought that was incidental. I just thought the guy went. He poked him with his eye.
That's all. I'm complaining. I'm bitching. I'm complaining. That's all.
Oh, that was just an incident. You know, that was just an accident. Guy went in there, got his finger in there, got him in the eye. That happens sometimes. You know, I didn't have a problem with that. It was just unfortunate. You know,
run of injuries yesterday was getting annoying. It was like, oh God, come on, man.
And even Dable said after the game, he goes, man, his eye's in bad shape. So I don't like the sound of that, man. You know, usually Dable's like, oh, we'll see. But even he said his eye looks messed up.
Absolutely an integral part of this offense in the passing game, Daniel Bellinger, dude. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the kid is growing into a red zone target. You know, he's becoming a trusted guy for Daniel. And I don't know where we're going to be at, Jerry, with that. You know, we're going to have to see the results of that, you know, his evaluation, you know, he's in Manhattan, you know, getting evaluated today. So that's going to be a big loss, too, if he's going to be out a while. Jerry, I would expect an orbital bone broken. And now you got to hope vision. And his eyeball's not too damaged, man. You know, so.
God, my God, yeah.
What a shame! What a shame for a kid, for a kid that was really coming on, you know.
Yeah, for this rookie class that's really contributing a lot, and like I said, Bellinger was so far ahead of where we thought he would be at this point. Offensive line, though, overall, dude, for the injuries they had, especially, look, pass blocking is still a work in progress, but the run blocking's been. You know, really good. I mean, Barkley gives them credit every week, but they're definitely better at run blocking than pass blocking. But they're not sticking out anymore to me. Like, I don't go in thinking, oh, God, just get rid of it in 2 seconds before you get, you know, pounded on, Daniel. So they're holding their own. They're improving every week. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not like he's under siege.
Right.
You know, I mean, the Dallas game, he kind of was early in the year. There's been a couple of it, but, you know, at least he had some time at times yesterday in the pocket. He could step up and throw the ball, you know. Yeah. And the run blocking, hey, look, you know, Nick Gates, I expect him to be back, bro. So you might get some reinforcements here with Nick going over to left guard. You know, I could see Nick going to left guard. Or I'm sure they'll keep Feliciano at center, but I could see Nick coming back. You know, his 21-day window ends Wednesday.
Right.
And, we'll see what happens with Brennison, especially if Brennison has to go on IR. I would say that's pretty much a given. Nick has looked good. He was playing center last week. A little bit, and he told me personally he expects to be activated. You know, he feels great.
Yeah,
now, it's not his call at the end. It's not his, you know. But you know, we could be getting him back for this Seattle game coming up Sunday. You know, and maybe put him at left guard with his EDU, you know, and all that. So it couldn't come at looking at what Brennison. We'll see what happens with Brennison and stuff like that. But this, you know, this couldn't come at a better time. Maybe with Gates getting back, you know.
Another guy that went on IR this week was Ojulari. Were you surprised by that at all or no?
Jerry, I was. You know, I'm around these guys. I see the way they move, and he's been happy. He's like, you know, he's a few times he was like, you know, I'm almost there, and, you know, and next thing you know, he's on IR, you know?
Yeah.
So obviously he wasn't always there. It was the other calf, you know? So he's hurt both calves this year, man. What a rough year for him, expecting so much out of him.
And that's the danger when you do put on weight and muscle. It just happens. It is what it is.
You hope that maybe that calf that he injured in training camp wasn't 100%. He's compensating a little too much. You know, maybe that's why. It was the weirdest thing because I saw him after the game in the locker room when he injured the calf at the end of the game. And he was just like, yeah, I hurt the other one a little bit. He goes, I should be fine. I'll be fine. That was weeks ago, and here he is in IR. So obviously he never really healed.
You never know, I guess.
It just never healed the way he thought it was going to heal. He couldn't push off probably on it. You know, and that's it. So, we're going to miss him for another three games. And it's a shame, man. We expected a lot out of him, but injuries have slowed him down this year.
I'm going to put you on the spot because I can't do it for the next podcast, but I'm doing it for this one. So we have the 6-1 Giants going to Seattle next week. And then right after that is November 1st, the trade deadline.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So did the Giants do anything to try and bring a receiver in, you think? Because it's coming. Only reason I'm asking, dude, because it's coming right up.
I think it's possible. Yeah. Talked about this the last one. I think it's get the right deal. I think it's possible.
I think it's 6-1. That's more likely than not to happen, I think.
Yeah, sure. They need help at the receiver position. Look, Galladay's not coming back. I don't think in the near future. He's going to be out. He's still on IR. Tony, forget about it. We don't know.
Number 89, you mean?
89, we don't know. and if the right deal comes along, I think we talked about it. He's not going to mortgage anything for the future-wise.
Yeah.
But is there some couple of guys out there that obviously are being talked about, you know? I think no question Joe's going to think about it, or Joe's going to, you know, explore the possibilities.
I think the urgency is a little more there than it was a week ago, even. I think it's 6-1. At worst, you're 6-2 before the trade deadline. Your obvious need is on offense is at the receiver position. I just think it becomes a little more urgent. I'm not saying he'd mortgage anything, and I don't want him to. You know, if you're going to give up a first or second, no. But I'd be willing to give up a third or a fourth. I'm, you know, especially for a Jerry Jeudy type, I would do it. I just think it's more likely to happen now that they're 6-1 than it was before.
Absolutely. I mean, they're heading for the playoffs. Let's face it.
Unbelievable.
They're on a playoff run. Their path is to the playoffs. You know?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You know, let's not forget, you still got to play the Eagles twice, too.
Right. Yes.
And you still got to play the Cowboys
Dallas,
once.
Dallas again. Yeah.
On Thanksgiving.
Vikings. Sure.
You know?
Yep.
I'm just sticking right now. I'm sticking in the division. Because,
they're
half game behind the Eagles.
Yeah.
And you still got to play them twice.
Right.
And like I said last week, folks, is there any game you're going to say, go into saying, oh, we got no chance of winning this game with this team?
Nope.
No.
I saw a tweet yesterday. I don't know who said it. I don't know if it was Big Blue VCR or Jim Vassell, one of those two, said that he's going to start calling the Scottish Hammer Happy Gilmore. Because he just blasts it down the center of the field. But I thought that was funny. But I thought the special teams held up okay, right? I mean, nothing too crazy. I still don't like the short kick. It seems like just guys don't overthink this. Kick it to the end zone with that weapon you have at kicker. But, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. But, I mean, nothing really stuck out in special teams.
Look, what they do is they look at their special teams play and they feel they could do something with those short kicks.
Yeah.
You know, against their return team, you know, they feel they could do that. That's the way they look at it. And it didn't really hurt them yesterday.
It seems like they still get past the 25. That's all.
Yeah. To me, like you said, it's not like they're pinning them back at a 17, 20, you know, so I would, me personally, but hey, look, that's McGahee sees some things that they feel they could exploit.
Yeah.
Like you said, Jerry, any short kick like that, if they get to the 26 yard line, that to me, that's a loss. You know, that's a loss. But that's something they felt. Hey, look, you know what was really scary? I said, how about Gano with that kickoff that almost went out of bounds?
God. And by the way, if that was 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, that ball goes out of bounds.
No question. You know, I was like, oh, baby, what the hell? You know, when I saw that.
Gano, you're our best player.
You know, so, that was kind of a hairy moment there.
Yeah.
Hey, look, they didn't get no sacks yesterday, Jerry. You know, not much pressure. You know, not much pressure on Trevor Lawrence. I know they did a lot of good things in the first half to slow down that blitz. But Wink again, though, you saw him in that last drive, going after him a little bit. You know, going after him. Look, some guys got to beat guys one-on-one. You know, Leo Williams was pretty quiet yesterday.
He was.
Dexter played another really good game. Thibodeau forced, you know, he affected the pocket a few times, no question about it.
Yep. Even if it was to just make Lawrence step up, he affected the pocket, yes.
Yep. And Tamon Fox did his weekly, I almost decapitate a player out there, you know.
It's like the Fox specialty.
Yeah, and once again, Tamon Fox, he was out there on the last drive.
Yeah.
He was out there on the edge, the last drive. So
it's amazing. Even with free agent college guys, Shane is amazing who he's picking up.
So, But they have to, you know, they got to, you know, they got started. You know, I don't think they had any sacks yesterday, right, Jerry? Let me look again.
No, they had one taken away. Lawrence had one, then it was taken back.
Right. I have no sacks. They only gave up one, so.
Yep.
Got to start getting that pocket a little bit more, dude. You know, you got Geno Smith, Seattle. You got Dallas coming up down the road. You know, you got some teams. Got to get to that court, get some more pressure, get to that drops, get some drops, you know, so.
All right, so Mr. Predictions, Bistradamus. I want to know right now, are they trading? Who's going on IR? Who's not? I just give me it all down. Just give me everything.
Oh, those are personnel moves, bro. I don't know.
You don't do those? You just do game stuff?
Okay. Who they're trading?
I'm just joking, dude. I'm joking.
Let's put it this way. You know, if Shane gets the right package, you could see a guy or maybe two getting traded.
Yeah.
If he gets the right deal, I don't think there's any question. Maybe some guys, but yeah. Will he be aggressive? Try to get somebody like a receiver, you know, like that. That's a position of need.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Chris. I'm not going to be upset either way. If they don't do it, I'm not going to be upset. If they do it, I'm not going to be upset. I'm trying to enjoy this season for what it is. We are way ahead of schedule. We are getting a lot of answers on guys that we didn't know about, that we weren't sure of, namely our quarterback, I think. And guys that we thought were nothing, like O'Shane Zimenez, right? I think we missed him yesterday, Chris. Yeah. I mean, can I say that? We missed him yesterday.
Imagine.
I can't believe it.
Hey, Jerry, there's two things we just said, right, in the last 30 seconds that if we said, like, over the summer, people will look at us like we're insane. One, yeah. I just said, yeah, we got to play Geno Smith next week. All
right.
Yeah,
right.
And two, you just said, yeah, we miss Zimenez.
I mean, it's
amazing. It's insane. I mean, that's how football seasons could change on a dime, man. It's incredible. You know?
That's why we got rid of, like I said, we got rid of that prediction column in the Giant Insider because it's the stupidest column ever. You cannot predict a thing with football. I mean, all summer long, I just thought, well, it's going to be a rebuilding year. We'll see, you know, if Jones can do anything. But yeah,
Jerry, they're winning during a rebuilding year.
It's unbelievable. Well, so was Gettleman right? You can win and rebuild at the same time.
Well, it depends who's putting the personnel out there and who's coaching these players, too.
Theoretically, it can happen, but just Gettleman couldn't.
I don't know why you made fun of Dave. The guy was 100% right.
All right, look, we have some time left. I got to ask you this, and bear with me. Jones, Barkley, Dexter Lawrence, O'Shane Zimenez, Andrew Thomas, McKinney. I mean, it wasn't the drafting as much as it was the free agency, the salary cap debacle that we've left us in, the coaching selection. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it was, right? Like, I mean, I don't want to revise anything. I'm just saying, like, if you got to give 1% credit or 2%, whatever the percent you want, there is some talent here that our coaching staff is now kind of bringing out in these guys. That's all I want to say. That's all.
Hey, look, you know me, Jerry. I've given Dave credit in the past when he deserves credit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And some of his draft picks are playing well. No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the other stuff that Dave did.
Oh.
That destroyed this.
Disaster.
You know,
sure.
That tied up, you know, caps and all that stuff and trades and guys, you know, his culture releases and stuff like that. But,
yeah, right.
You know, some of the draft picks that he's made have played well for this team. You know, there's no question about it, man.
And on our building blocks for the future, absolute building blocks, we'll get second contracts like Andrew Thomas, McKinney, mm-hmm. Dexter Lawrence, maybe our quarterback, maybe the running back, depending on how much they value it. So we're finally – and again, dude, this is the coaching bringing all this out too, though. I mean, this team's not 6-1 with Joe Judge or Pat Shurmur. Mm-hmm. So selecting the right coach is kind of important, guys. But you got to give some credit where credit is due, and these guys are starting to pan out. So that's all.
Yeah, no question about it. There's been – when David's made some good picks too, besides a lot of bad ones. You know?
Yeah.
But some of these guys – like you said, who are impacting games like McKinney yesterday and Dex is all year and even Daniel now, you know, Daniel, those were Dave's guys and Dave deserves the credit there, you know, no question about it. Some of these guys he brought in here.
Yeah.
problem with Dave was other things. So
literally everything else.
yeah. Yeah, no question about it. When you have Dable and stuff like that, and what these guys are doing with these guys is a whole other level, man. So,
did you see the clip of Dable smoking that stogie after the game was over?
Yeah.
I saw it. Little Bruce Arian vibe there.
it was pretty funny, dude. Because I say about what time did the game end? 4.
About that.
And that was when he walked out of Jacksonville Stadium,
Yeah.
Dable. And
yeah, I'm trying to think. That game felt longer.
They were getting on the bus, I guess, go to the airport. Yeah. I saw Dave with the cigar. It was pretty funny. So,
Expected to see like scotch in the other hand or something, the way his mannerisms were.
Who knows? They're on the bus, who knows,
Yeah. Cigar in one hand, scotch in the other.
Yeah.
Or one of those glasses where you slide the stogie through.
He's a big cigar guy. I see him walking around 10:30. Going to the field house, I see him with a cigar, picking smoke. So he's a real big cigar guy. So, no, it's victory cigar for him. I'm happy for him,
Yep.
So
good stuff. Anything else you want to cover? How good it feels to root for the Giants these days.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you put that into words?
Look, folks, we talked about it, me and Jerry, Enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. This was not supposed to be happening. It is. Enjoy what's happening. Just keep riding the wave, dude. It's like that, that U2 song. Just keep riding the wave, break the wave, whatever the hell that song is. And ride the wave, because there's so many good things happening, and this team is on path right now to play in January in a playoff game.
I mean, the analogy kills me, but there was a baseball team that was finished 14 games back and they're headed to the World Series. I hate the team that's doing it. But anything can happen, man. Just, get in and then see what happens. This is a lot of fun right now. And we always joke, dude, but it's true. Yeah. Just doing these podcasts after wins now instead of, all right, Chris, what are we going to talk about? How the way we lost, how can you put it into words? Like, oh, my God, enough's enough, man. This is awesome. So much fun. So.
Yeah, it's something that Giant fans and this organization has not, and this wasn't supposed to happen this year,
Right. Not at all. So
now next season, the expectation is going to be off the charts. Don't get me wrong, but this wasn't supposed to happen this year. So enjoy it, man. I mean, going on the road and winning games, Daniel Jones with 5 game winning comeback drives, number one in the NFL.
Yeah.
Look,
that's absurd. What an absurd statement. I can't believe that's another one. Add that to we missed O'Shane Zimenez this week.
Yeah. And you know what, Jerry, me personally too, I'm happy for a lot of these guys, dude, because obviously I'm around them.
Yep.
I talk to them. And they're all very receptive dudes. I think I talked about this before. Really, really good guys. They're staying at their locker. And even Darius Slayton, dude, who has caught, forget about the heat that dude has caught, right?
Yeah.
That guy is always at his locker. You go over to him. It wasn't like, it's not like, now you guys want to talk to me? Get lost, And he goes in the shower, disappears. Always around.
Yeah.
Always talking, Dexter Lawrence, one of the greatest guys going. Dexter will always talk to you. I broke his chops a few times about his mouth on the field. He was telling me some stuff back at Clemson, what he used to do.
Julian Love.
Julian Love's the greatest. We know that. Leo Williams, I'm happy for these guys personally, too, because there's so many personable guys, that you grow to like.
Saquon, too, right? I mean, these guys
Saquon.
Are just,
Saquon,
and they've
great.
Just known, and they've just known losing since they've been here.
Hey, Jerry, you printed the last article, the last column I wrote about Saquon in the last issue. And like I said, that was just sitting around bullshitting with him. It wasn't like that was after his presser. Talking to him. He didn't have to do that. He could have got up and gone. Yeah, what I mean?
Right.
And so, there's so many guys that you pull for because you get to know them personally and you see and you talk with them. So, it's just good. I'm happy for them personally too, Jerry. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm happy for these guys,
Absolutely.
Because there's so many good dudes in that locker room,
Yep.
Yeah. So many good dudes. And even, like I said, even Thibodeau, he's a funny dude. He's a little bit of an eccentric, but he's a good in a good way. You know what I mean? Yeah,
right, right.
Not some lunatic that, you know, you know, that's like, oh, you know, walking out of here because he's, in, you know, because you don't know what he's going to do next. You know, and, you know, so.
We're not a cornerback who's just going to ignore you. So there you go.
Yeah, I had a few of those. Matter of fact, I had a cornerback that got mad at me once. Remember? He's no longer in the game.
That's right.
Like, so, you know, if anybody doesn't know, me and Jerry were talking about DeAndre Baker. He had a little bit of an attitude with me once years ago, and I had to like kind of like.
Well, he earned it, Chris. He was a great player. So
yeah, you know. I was like, "What are you talking about, dude?" You know, yeah. Like, you know, anyway.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, yeah. So that's on a personal level, Jerry. I'm happy for the guys too, man. You know, happy for them that they, you know, the success they're having so far. And Dable, look, folks. Obviously, 99.9% of the population isn't fortunate enough like me to get to know these guys, you know, and I've gotten to know Brian Dable. And, dude, Jerry, I could tell you, Giants fans, I could tell you, if you knew him personally too, you would love him even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. And Joe Shane, same way.
Yeah.
And I know everybody's in love with Dable because of what he's doing for this team. And obviously the way he's coaching these guys up, and Mike Kafka, another one, absolute great dude. So what I'm saying is that Dable, besides the football coach, besides this, you know, when you get to know him personally, he's a ball breaker. He's a fun dude, down to earth dude, and everybody in that building says it.
Yeah,
that guy walks in, he'll walk in the cafeteria, he'll talk to the guys that work in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
The so-called, you know, I'm holding up my quotation marks, small people in the building.
Yeah, right.
And to me, there is no small people in the building. Yep. But you know what I'm getting at, Jerry. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. The people that work in the cafeteria, the people that clean the building, all stuff like that. Dable gets to know them. Dable talks to them. And he learned that, dude. I'm pretty sure, well, first of all, because Dable's a really good dude.
Yep.
He doesn't think he's above everybody. He doesn't think, like, you know what I mean? Yep. And two, I mentioned this before we sign off. You know, that's something Bill Belichick does. Oh, yeah. Chris, come on. Belichick thinks what a F he is. No. Belichick, and I got this from former players of his. Belichick would know everybody in that building. He would learn about everybody. He would talk to everybody.
Yeah.
To get information, to find out about their families, this and that. Yeah, that's right, folks. Bill Belichick, who might be one of the most miserable guys that you ever witnessed, that you ever seen on camera.
Right.
You know, but Dable is like, look, Dable is a personal dude. I think folks, you know, besides loving him for what he's doing, you got to really like the guy for what he is as a human being, bro. I'm just telling you, bro, because, you know, as you know, Jerry, I've gotten to know Dable.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a guy you pull for, bro. That's all I'm going to say. Hey, look, I'm not going to bury anybody else. I knew Judge pretty good, too. And yeah. Joe could be a really good dude, too. But just different personalities. Dable's, you know, Judge was very intense at times, you know.
Yeah.
And Dable is, they're both good dudes.
Dable breaks your stones, too, joking around, right? So he has
Dable. What I'm saying is, personality-wise, as a human being, dude, you pull for him, too. You know what I mean? So Giant fans, obviously, like I said, 99.9% of this population will never get to know Brian Dable at a personal level. I'm lucky enough to do that, and you would love him if you knew him on a personal level, Jerry, too. So.
Good stuff, dude. That is awesome. That's great to hear. Great insight. And Giant fans, you absolutely deserve this 6-1 record. Way to bring it yesterday. Way to show up in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a home game, for God's sake. Yeah. But look, I joked this morning. Someone asked me, I can't believe I can't believe what's going on right now. I said, I can't believe my blood pressure is at regular levels. So, Dr. Fox, congratulations. It's your work as well as the New York Giants being 6-1. But in all seriousness, man, you guys are the best. You've been with us for, what, 3-4 years doing this podcast. And we're glad to finally talk about wins for you guys. And so I'll leave it at that. Anything else, pal?
No, that's it. Let's get back to work.
All right, buddy.
We'll game planning for Seattle. Yes. Enjoy the win.
Yeah.
Get back to the grind.
Nice.
The 4-3 Seahawks, who are playing pretty good football.
Yeah.
With a quarterback that's playing pretty good. And they also have a home run hitter like Travis Etienne.
Yes.
That,
yeah, they do.
I'm very concerned about again. But
Penny, right? Penny. Yeah, because that's what Colin Cowherd said the other day. Penny. They got to watch out for Penny.
Who? Who's got to watch out for Penny?
Colin Coward said that when with he Seattle, you have to watch out for Penny.
Does he not know if Penny's on IR?
He does not.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Funhouse put that out there. He goes, look at this guy.
So Jerry, just quickly, we're playing Seattle this weekend. We just got to look out for Kurt Warner. We just got to watch.
Kurt Warner, Steve Largent, and Jim Zorn.
You know, we got to watch out for Kurt Warner. That guy could run the ball, bro.
Nice. All right, guys. Good
these
stuff.
These are folks getting paid millions of dollars, mind you.
Okay? That's right. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. That's Magzter. All right, guys, we're back at you Thursday or Friday, the 6-1 Giants, baby. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.